What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Cyrus, at least, was prophesied to be a servant of God to do certain things, but there is no biblical warrant for making that parallel with any modern-day person, including President Trump.
You could easily argue for an atheist. An atheist tries to argue against a creator because an atheist doesn't like the idea that there's a final judgment, that they're accountable to doing what's right. They didn't deny the idea of a creator because they don't like the idea of moral rules, which they may have violated.
It would be really weird, wouldn't it, if just in 1500 you figured out a central truth? That would indicate that you've missed something. That's Joseph Smith kind of talk.
Canadian pipers love issues, etc.
I think that Christians often want to believe that normal for the Christian is everything goes their way. When things go wrong, they think it strange. Now, we are clearly told by the apostles on several occasions not to think it strange at all when life is not going your way. When you suffer, it says, all kinds of tribulations, trials, and sufferings. After all, the example of this life is set by Christ himself, which is a man of sorrows and acquainted with sorrows. So when we get sick, does that mean something's gone wrong? We think about healthy as the normal, and at least in medical terms, and we think, okay, we need to fix this. There must be a remedy in terms of human medicine. What about divine remedy? Is there always one there, but we just don't access it the way that we should? A lot of Christians will tell you, that's the way it works. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be doing This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, listening to Kenneth Copeland claim that Jesus always wills to heal you. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 4 sound bites to play for you. And once we've played those 4 sound bites here in about a half hour, you have your opportunity to vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So I think it's fair to say that Kenneth Copeland is going to try to establish a doctrine here in the sound bites we're going to hear. What is required of normally to establish a doctrine?
All right, great question. So here's the idea. That we as Christians, we believe particular doctrines. And in order to establish something as a doctrine that every Christian is duty-bound to believe, teach, and confess, we need clear and unambiguous passages of Scripture that say these things. Let me explain. When you read your Bible, 66 books, it's a pretty large book, and it's divided up into many different types of literature, if you would. There's historical narratives. There are didactic teachings. There's prophetic, apocalyptic literature. And so the idea is, in order to establish something as a doctrine, you need clear passages. For instance, if I were to ask you, what is the gospel? You had better be able to go to a clear passage of Scripture that says the good news is this. And thankfully, we have that in one of the didactic or teaching portions of Scripture. Think of the epistles as you would as a commentary and clear teaching on many of the historical narratives. So the Apostle Paul provides for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 a very clear and concise definition of what the gospel is. And the Apostle Paul has made it clear in other portions of Scripture that the gospel he preached is not a gospel that he received from any human being, but that he received it from none other than Jesus Christ himself. And the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached is this, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas and then the 12 and more than 500 other brothers at one time. That's the gospel. And if your gospel is different than that, or the gospel you preach, you're not preaching a gospel that's in accord with sound doctrine. So in order to establish a doctrine, you need a clear text that says these things. And then when we understand how hermeneutics works, clear passages then have priority over unclear passages. So clear passages govern, unclear passages have to be governed and understood in light of the clear passages. These are kind of the basics as to how doctrines are established.
By criticizing what Kenneth Copeland's going to say here, are we asserting that God does not want to or no longer heals people miraculously?
No, absolutely not. In fact, we as Christians, we are called upon to pray for those who have bodily illnesses or bodily ailments, and to pray and even to anoint them, as James says in his epistle, believing in faith that God forgives their sins and that he can heal them. But we must not make a dogma or a doctrine that says that it is always God's will or Jesus's will here in this cursed creation for Christians to always be healed. That is where we must draw the line and say that when somebody says that, they're not teaching a doctrine that's actually taught in Scripture. That's a man-made doctrine. It's as much of a man-made doctrine as the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory or something like that. And so as Christians, we are only to believe according to the clear words of God. We are to only believe that which is in accord with sound doctrine, and we are to reject other doctrines that have come in through either sophistry or, the people who have seared consciences, like Kenneth Copeland, who teach for shameful gain things that they ought not to teach. So we're gonna walk through in our sound bites then how Kenneth Copeland, using really sophisticated Bible twisting and a form of twisting of God's word known as proof texting, tries to make it appear that it is always Jesus' will to heal people.
Who is Kenneth Copeland? You've already established he's one of the master twisters of Scripture. There's no doubt about that. But who is he, and what are we going to hear from him first?
All right, Kenneth Copeland, he is the head of a ministry called the Believer's Voice of Victory. He is literally the disciple of the late Kenneth Hagin and one of the major purveyors of what is known as the Word of Faith heresy. I have to put that as a heresy because it is. And what we're going to be listening to is a segment from a recent episode of the Believer's Voice of Victory, where he is making the claim that it is always the will of Jesus to heal people. And we're going to pay close attention to how he establishes this. In the first soundbite, he's going to literally, the best way I can describe it is he's going to set the trap. And he's going to do something rather interesting, which we really at first blush won't be able to disagree with, but I'll let Kenneth Copeland set the trap for everybody first.
Let's open our Bibles. The one thing that holds more Christian people in bondage concerning healing is not knowing whether it's his will or not. Now, Hebrews 13:8. You remember what that says? Let's look at it. Hebrews 13:8 and James chapter 1. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means there's no change. He's unchangeable. Well, of course, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anything he said yesterday, he is saying it today.
Amen.
Never changes. Ever. That's good, isn't it?
Okay, first of all, you got to marvel at this guy. I mean, he has the talent. It's being terribly abused, but he's got a real talent there. But he's done something there. You said set a trap, because there's not really anything on the face of it that you and I would disagree with there, would we?
No. In fact, with one little caveat, he says that people are in bondage because they don't know whether it's God's will to heal. You can't, that's vague enough that you can sit there and go, I'm not sure I understand what he's saying. But then he says something we cannot disagree with, and that is that Scripture is clear. And this gets to the immutability of God, this which is one of his divine attributes, is that God doesn't change. He doesn't lie. There is no shadow of turning with him. And so he quotes a passage that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, to which we have to say, amen. This is most certainly true about Christ. If he changed, or if he were capricious, we'd have no way to have any certainty regarding our salvation or our standing with God from day to day as his moods changed, as his and things of this nature. So it's absolutely true that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't quibble with that. But immediately I have my radar is up, because my question is, since he said, well, if Jesus said something yesterday, then it's not any different today. That's kind of the whole premise of this first point in his argument. Then my question is, what does he mean if Jesus said something yesterday? And that's where the trap is set, because now what he's going to do is he's going to take a passage of Scripture, a story of healing, and he's going to universalize it using this principle that he's established that Christ doesn't change. But you're right. Kenneth Copeland is one of the most gifted twisters of God's word. In fact, you can only describe his gifting here as devilish, because he really has this amazing ability to kind of hold people in the palm of his hand and hold them in his grip and keep their attention in such a way that they feel compelled to say amen to everything he says, but he's really up to no good.
Well, let's hear what he has to say next.
All right. Let's look at this in Matthew 8, 2. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, if it's your will, you can make me clean. Now, you see what his problem was? Man, he knew he had the power. This was no problem to him. But let's think about the man a little bit. This is not just anybody. Turn over with me to Luke 5, 12. I want to show you something here. You remember Luke is a physician?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Luke will give you information that is particularly where sickness and so forth is concerned that the others didn't mention. Now notice this. There came to pass when in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. He's not just a leper. He's stage four.
Yes.
This man is moments from dying. Now, there's more to this than just, if you will. This is a man that has been rejected and kicked out and made to stay away. He's sick. He's about to die. He's got these stinking, nasty sores all over him. He smells like a sewer. The clothes he's got on, no telling. I mean, see, would you even heal me? Can you see it?
Yes.
Would you even heal a cast away like me? Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.
So what's he done there, Chris? Then we'll take our break.
He is pulling on their heartstrings, and he is talking about just how loving and kind Jesus is, which is, again, most certainly true. This story in Scripture is one that really shows the love that Christ has in reaching out and touching a leper before he heals him. I mean, the compassion of Christ is just oozing in this story, and it's just oozing in, well, Kenneth Copeland's telling of the story. And this now then is the bait for the trap, because he's set the trap and now he's baited the trap. And after we come back from the break, we'll see how he then springs the trap in order to create this false doctrine that God always wills to heal.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're listening to Kenneth Copeland claim that Jesus always wills to heal you. And we'll hear the last part of that, respond to it right after the break. How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org.
When we make these parallels, it takes the focus off of Jesus' great redemption.
Lutherans are always saying, no, there's no one church father who gets everything right. Of course not. We're not slavishly following them.
Including Luther.
Especially Luther.
You could easily argue for an atheist. An atheist tries to argue against the Creator because an atheist doesn't like the idea that there's a final judgment.
We teach particular election. We do not teach reprobation, that is, God chooses anybody for damnation. But we also teach that when God says in His Word that He wants all men to be saved, He really does want all people to be saved.
That's just a taste of the four soundbites we're going to be playing for you when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In a few minutes here on Issues Etc., we'll be playing those soundbites. You'll vote by giving us a call, sending us an email, a tweet, or at our Facebook fan page, and your votes will determine which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Kenneth Copeland's claim that Jesus always wills to heal you. Our guest, Pastor Chris Rosebro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Okay, Chris, just to review for us before we hear this last one from Kenneth Copeland, how he has so masterfully, as you say, set the trap and baited the trap.
All right, so he set the trap by basically going to a passage of Scripture that says that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It basically making it clear that the reason why Christians are held in bondage regarding healing is because they don't know whether or not God wills to heal them. And then he's gone to a story, the story of where Jesus heals a leper, actually touches him and heals him. And he's talked about how amazing and loving and kind Jesus is. It's difficult already to see, you know, what is going to happen next. But what he's going to do is he's now going to spring the trap because he's engaging in what is known as proof texting. Let me explain. He hasn't been able to go to a biblical text that says God always wills to heal you because that verse doesn't exist. In order for this to be a doctrine, we actually need a text that almost says it that clearly, because we need a clear passage that speaks in this way. So he's now engaging in a form of proof texting. And let me explain. If you were to take your Bible and close your eyes and randomly open your Bible and put your finger down at a verse, and the verse says, Judas went and hung himself. And then you were to close your Bible and close your eyes again and then open it up randomly and then put your finger down and it says, go thou and do likewise. You could sit there and say, see, the Bible teaches that you need to harm yourself. You see, but they go, that's crazy. You've taken two verses out of context and stuck them together in order to create this doctrine. And that's exactly what he is doing right now. He's engaging in proof texting, and we'll see it now when he springs the trap to make it appear that Christ always wills to heal.
Look what the first thing Jesus did. He didn't speak to him first. He touched him first. Nobody had touched him. Now I want you to see, he fell on his face. Isn't that what it said? He wasn't kneeling. He's flat out on the ground. I can just see Jesus not bent over, on his face, looking him right in the face.
Thank you, Lord.
And touched him.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
One translation says, of course I will. Isn't that sweet? Love himself. Got down in the dirt with him. Didn't make no difference. He smelled good to him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He loved him, and he put his hands on him. And immediately the leprosy left.
Hallelujah.
Jesus can and will deliver you like that. I wanted you to see, once Jesus said, I will, that settled it for all men for all time.
Yes.
If he ever said, I will, to one human being, he's no respecter of persons. There's nothing you can do except not believe it. That's the only thing that stopped Jesus. You remember where he could do no mighty work? Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. In Nazareth, they didn't believe what he preached. They didn't believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, you can't receive it.
So what did he do there, Chris?
So he basically, remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now he's made the claim that because Jesus said to the leper, I will to heal you, that means that Jesus wants to heal every single human being from that point on into eternity. And so you and I, we can say with confidence that God wills to heal me. And the only thing that would keep me from receiving healing would be if I didn't believe it was God's will to heal.
So do the math for us then. How does this work out? I want to get to whether he established a doctrine or not in a minute, but how does the math then work for the people who are listening to or watching Kenneth Copeland or one of his many imitators out there who says the same kind of thing? and they've got the cancer or they've got the diabetes or they've got the renal failure or whatever it is that's threatening their life in, by way of disease or illness, and they haven't got their healing yet.
Yep. The way this plays out then is, well, see, the fault's not with Jesus. He wills to heal you. The fault is with you because you just don't believe enough for Jesus to be able to act. That's literally how the math would end up working on this. Now, I wanted to show you something from Scripture and to show why this doesn't exactly work. He's proof texted here. In John chapter 11, we read the story of how Lazarus was ill, and Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that he was ill. And then Jesus, upon hearing this, he ended up staying where he was for 2 whole days. And as a result of it, Lazarus died. Now, remember, according to Kenneth Copeland, it's always Jesus' will to heal you because of the healing of the leper, where he said, I will. Well, here we have an account where not only did Jesus not act, the fellow who was ill died. And using the same principle that, you know, that Jesus is the same today, forever, and always, I have to conclude that whenever I am sick, that it is Jesus' will, therefore, that I die, and that he'll heal me when I'm raised from the dead. Using that same principle that he used. And you sit there and go, wait, it doesn't work that way. Exactly. It doesn't work that way when I apply it, this misapply it this way. And it didn't work that way when Kenneth Copeland misapplied it. And what this fellow is doing is teaching not only a false doctrine that will lead people to despair because it becomes their fault that they're not healed. And there they are. They're getting worse and worse and worse, and maybe even getting to the point where they're going to die. And they have no choice then, using this theology, to conclude that the error lies with them and that they have not pleased God and that their faith is not enough for them to receive what Jesus already wills for them. This is a tragic, tragic abuse of scripture, but abuse of people, and forces them to not see Jesus as kind and loving towards them, but instead angry and wrathful towards them because they are not receiving their healing.
There's another angle to this. Kenneth Copeland always has this particular angle. You've said before, insinuated, saying he teaches for shameful gain. What's Kenneth Copeland's angle?
So over and again, when you watch the believer's voice of victory, one of the things that the viewer is always encouraged to do is to either activate or demonstrate to God that they have faith. And the way in which they are to activate and to demonstrate to God that they have faith is by sowing a seed offering into Kenneth Copeland's ministry. And oftentimes, Kenneth Copeland will tell stories of somebody who sowed $1,000 seed offering and received a 100-fold return. And of course, he is always able to point to his life as the perfect example of how this principle works. Because, I mean, after all, he owns 3 private jets and recently acquired a $65 million Gulfstream jet. And so he can point to his own life and say, see, I've sown money into other people's ministry and demonstrated my faith to God, and he has blessed me with this bazillion-dollar mansion and multiple private jets and all of this kind of stuff. So he's kind of at the top of the Ponzi scheme, if you would. But this is a fellow who tells people what they want to hear, preys on those who are sick and dying, basically holding out a false hope, and always doing so with the expectation and overt, you know, pitches to send him money to show God that you truly have faith to receive your healing. It's demonic. It is greedy. It is exactly what Jesus and the apostles warned us about. Those who twist God's word, make it void, and teach for shameful gain the things that they ought not to teach.
With only a minute here, Chris, what does the Bible clearly teach by way of both God's will and how he does heal?
it is God's will to heal. I'll make this very clear. And it's God's will that you will be perfectly healed on the day when Jesus returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. The healing that is promised for every believer in Christ is that we will be raised from the grave when Jesus returns, and that our bodies will be just like his. He is the firstborn of the new creation. And although it may not be God's will right now to heal you in this life, do not worry, because Christ has said, "Behold, I am making all things new," and it is his will that you will be raised from the grave on the third, on the day that he returns, and you will spend eternity with him in a new earth. And so you can say for the Christians that, you know, for every Christian, that God ultimately will heal all of us in the resurrection, and that will be for eternity. And that's an explicit promise of God that is clearly taught, and you don't have to engage in proof texting in order to establish that doctrine. Christians have believed it from the very first generations of Christians at the time of the apostles when they were alive, to Christians who are alive even to this day, and it's even put in summary form in our creeds as well. So this is exactly what we are promised in Christ, and this is to what we should be looking forward to.
What kind of heresies will you be debunking again tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
So there's a fellow by the name of Tyler Johnson who has a group of people called Dead Raisers, and he claims to be raising people from the dead while at the same time denying the doctrine of original sin. So we'll be taking that on tonight's episode of Fighting for the Faith.
You can listen to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, live this Friday afternoon. We got four soundbites that we have assembled for you. One of them, the first one, comes from Dr. Andrew Steinman on the danger of calling President Trump a modern-day King Cyrus. Soundbite number two is Pastor Heath Curtis on a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers. Soundbite number three, Dr. Brian Miller responds to Stephen Hawking on the belief in the afterlife. And the last soundbite we'll be playing for you, Dr. Cameron McKenzie on a Lutheran view of predestination. We're going to play those soundbites for you on the other side of the break. Then we'll invite you to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet with your vote @issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll be right back and play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
In the days of the Reformation, Lutherans insisted that justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. But is this still the case?
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In a world of moral anarchy, is discussing how man is justified still the most important conversation we need to have? The answer is yes, because we'll never regain a proper understanding of marriage or human identity or even morality itself until we first understand what it means to be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the centrality of justification at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find registration information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.